This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Wednesday, you have done it. It is hump day. And I have all kinds of things on tap for tonight. I have to give you a heads up about what's coming tomorrow. It's going to be a blast of a show tonight. A little history tomorrow. All kinds of stuff coming. So first of all, I'm just warning you now. In about 2 minutes, once I get done with my little show preview thingy I do, I'm gonna drop a story on you that's going to stun you. You need to sit down. If you're not in your car, maybe you're cooking or working out or something, you need to sit down. I'll give you a heads up before I say it again. That way, I don't want you passing out and hurting yourself. There are liability issues there. So just bear with me on that. So we'll talk about that in a moment. We're going to talk about some good things tonight. There are good things happening. Yeah, there's all kinds of bad stuff happening, and we'll talk about that as well. But there are good things happening. Culture war stuff, are we starting to stop the advance? I know that's a bad way to put it, but are we starting to stop the communist advance? I believe we are. A couple different stories out there. We'll go into that. We're going to talk about the communists and how they view the flag. Joe Biden's immigration orders and all the immigration stuff that's been in the news. It's certainly worth talking about. Dr. Birx is back out there. She wants to go test a bunch of cows. Christopher Ray is evil. We have all that. Emails. And next hour, not now, don't bother calling. There's no one there. Next hour, we're going to take some calls. I haven't done that in like 3 weeks. We'll take some calls, but they're going to be fast. And they'll be good. It'll be about blessings. And then whatever else is on your mind. It's a huge show tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. And before I forget, tomorrow, I got so many requests for this, which actually surprised me a little bit. Tomorrow is the anniversary of D-Day. June 6th, D-Day, you know, Allied invasion of Normandy. I got a ton of requests to do the history kind of story of that and tell the story of D-Day. I kind of just assumed that that was something that everyone knew. You know, everyone knew. But I realized people like that stuff and not everyone knows. So tomorrow, I would say start of hour two. If you're a history fan, get ready because we're going to do some D-Day talk tomorrow. All right? All right. Now for the story that is going to floor you. You may not have even heard about this story. You probably haven't. And look, I understand that people have medical conditions. Maybe you've got a weak heart. Maybe you're naturally panicky or something. I just want you to be safe. When I say what I'm about to say, it may be a lot to take. And it's not something you expect, okay? So here it is. All right, that's as much of a heads up as I can give you. Hold on to something, sit down, strap it in. This is a headline today from the Wall Street Journal. Behind closed doors, Biden shows signs of slipping. I know. What? I'm as taken aback as you are. Are you? What? Joe Biden, and they go on to talk about how he's slipping mentally and things like that, or closing his eyes for long periods of time. This can't be real. What? What? Joe Biden is slipping? You know what? I'm going to call it right now. Fake news. I'm going to call it fake news. You're trying to tell me behind closed doors, this guy isn't sharp as a tack?
Anyway, and I don't want to, well, maybe choose my words. I was just thinking, anyway, I just, look, I mean,
let it keep going in a second, but I was talking to Chris and Michael about it before the show. I don't know why I've always found it so funny, but when he does the anyway thing, it absolutely murders me because it's obviously a built-in reaction now when he loses his train of thought, but he just drops it out there as if it kind of just wraps up whatever he was talking about. It doesn't matter. He'll be, you know, I'll tell you, I was having for, so last night for dinner, I got home and Ab had made us some chicken anyway, like he just throws it in. Like that doesn't finish anything.
Putin's kleptocracy. Yeah. It was in January after being elected. The late January, early February. He said, it's not, we need not just, well, I won't go into it.
Here's what drives the...
You're trying to tell me that behind closed doors, he's slipping? Sorry, I find that pretty hard to believe. All right, quit. Enough goofing around. There's serious stuff going on. Let's deal with this because I had all kinds of emails about it. We didn't go into too many details yesterday. We brought it up. We talked about it. But Jesse, God bless you, this person says. She says, I should say. Thank you for your show, your insight, your courage, and your humor. I appreciate it all. Keep up the good work. I have a question. Does this, quote, new limit on border crossings that stupid Joe suddenly found the power to implement include the number of people the administration is flying into the country? They're circumventing the border crossings altogether. Well, all right. So Joe Biden made the speech yesterday. He made the speech that he was shutting down the border. Those were all the headlines anyway. I'm using my executive power and I'm shutting down the border, and here was some of it.
The border is not a political issue to be weaponized.
Just bear with me. I'm going to do some pausing here. The border is not a political issue to be weaponized. Communists are so good at this. They're so good at pushing their agenda and acting like it's non-political. Obama was the master of that. He was so good at it. And look, I hate Obama like you do. Learn to show respect and admiration for your enemy when he does things well. Obama did this for 8 years. He would push the most brazenly political left-wing thing, and the second he got pushback, he'd get up and give a speech and say, "Don't make this political." He was great at it. Joe Biden, in this case, he's saying, look, it's not a political issue. Why is he saying that? Because it is a political issue that's hurting him. So he's trying to deflect the blame. Anyway, that's what he's doing.
The border is not a political issue to be weaponized. The responsibility we have to share, to do something about it.
Hear what he did there? Hey, it's not political to be weaponized. We share this responsibility, you see? Well, it's not on me. I mean, yeah, it's bad and you're mad, but... it's kind of on everybody, really. It's kind of you, kind of me, kind of everyone. It's certainly not just me. I did this actually just with the wife a couple of days ago. She's been trying to clean up the eating in the house. And then we had this supersized bag of chips. And they were the fresh chips. And they were really good. And you can get the fresh chips at the local grocery store here. And I went into the pantry and I had some chips. I actually opened the bag and probably ate half the bag of chips. And my sons were there, and they each had maybe a couple chips. And the wife finally goes in, and she says, "Who ate all these chips? I thought we were cleaning everything up." And I said, "Well, it was me and the boys. You know, I got to be honest. It was all of us." The boys were furious.
They don't have time for the games played in Washington, and neither do the American people. So today, I'm moving past Republican obstruction and using the executive authorities available to me as president to do what I can on my own to address the border.
We don't have time for Washington games. Joe's above those Washington games, you see. He's an outsider. Hard scrabble, working class Joe. All these other people like to play political games, but not Joe. He just shoots it straight out there. And so he's moving past Republican obstruction, and he's going to do what he can do. And he went on.
I've come here today to do what the Republicans in Congress refuse to do. Take the necessary steps to secure our border. 4 months ago, after weeks of intense negotiation between my staff and Democrats and Republicans, we came to a clear bipartisan deal. It was the strongest border security agreement in decades. But then Republicans in Congress, not all, but walked away from it. Why? Because Donald Trump told them to.
And of course, what he's doing and what he wants is awful. And the deal that they struck was awful. So let's talk about not what he's doing, but what he's doing and why he's doing it. Hang on.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday, a hump day, reminding you, you can email the show, and you should, Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. We love your emails. We will get to all kinds of stories and calls and stuff next hour. No calling yet. We're going over some stuff about Biden and the border and other things. I should let you know that we just during the break probably made a little change to the show. I was discussing with Jewish producer Chris how much I like to move when I talk. When I talk on the phone, I pace. But here when I do radio, I have to sit down. And if you're watching on the simulcast, you'll see I have this microphone stand in front of me covering up my handsome face. And what I want in Chris, I'll be honest, Chris is pushing back. He's not being that great about it. I want a detachable microphone. What, Chris? So I can walk around like a rock star. I'd be like, yeah! What, Chris? What? Okay, well, that happened a long time ago. Chris is talking about an incident that happened a while ago where I wanted to stand to do the show, and it lasted for one segment because I talk with my hands too much, and I kept knocking the cord off and my headphones off, and so we abandoned that. This can be different this time, Chris. I feel like I've turned over a new leaf. And I feel like I've turned over a new leaf. Anyway, back to Joe Biden and the border stuff. I'll let you know when I start pacing back and forth. Maybe I'll just walk around with this stand. Chris, we need a longer cord. Anyway, Joe Biden. Obviously, you're not stupid, so I'm not going to talk to you as if you're stupid. You're the hyper-informed. But this is a conversation we've had before. We need to have it again to explain why he talks like this. Why even bother doing this? Why act like you're doing anything at the border? And, you know, spoiler alert, they're not doing anything at the border. Nothing. They're acting as if after they let in 2 million illegals a year, then they will give themselves the authority to do something if they want to. This is nothing, zero, zip, zilch. They're not doing anything on the border, just as a heads up. And to answer the lady's email, which I didn't do last segment, they're still going to be flying people in from other countries who don't even cross the border. It's horrific. Okay, so let's fast forward past that. You're not an idiot. You knew they weren't going to do anything. They're not doing anything. They're not securing the border. So what is all this about? Well, it's about politics. Yes, that's correct. It's because his poll numbers are down. That's also correct. But it's about how they're talking. And it's about why they're talking that way. That's what we need to dig into here, because there are, for the purpose of our conversation, we'll say three groups of Americans. Three groups of Americans, all right? There is, first of all, let's start with you. Not to patronize you, but you're the hyper-informed. You're the patriot. You're the one who knows the issues. You know the country. You know what needs to be done to save the country. You're... Okay, let's set you aside, right? This is not about you. You are the hyper-informed. Let's call you 5%, right? You're 5%. Set you aside. You don't matter for our purposes. For the purposes of our conversation, you don't matter. You don't matter, and I'll explain in a minute. Then, the opposite end of the spectrum are the dirty communists, the street activist communists, the elite communists, the people who eat, sleep, and breathe, burning down the country. That, we'll call it 5% also. Look, I'm guessing on the percentages here, but I'm not all that far off. The people who really wake up with an axe to grind about America, not as high a percentage as you think, but they're powerful and they've taken institutions, whatever, 5%. So let's get rid of them too. All right. So you're gone and the America hating commies are gone. Let's talk about all the people in the middle. For Joe Biden, for all the communists, actually, this applies to everyone, the media communists, the Hollywood communists, the education communists. Their challenge is now and has always been, how do you burn down the home with the consent of the homeowner? That is the challenge. They are in the home. They want to light it on fire and burn it to the ground. But the people who live in that home, they have to give their consent somehow, some way. How do you do that? And the ultimate tightrope Democrats have to walk, especially now, it wasn't this way before, but now, is their base, the 5% I was just talking about, they really do, they want to hear your speeches about how bad America sucks. Tell me what you're going to destroy today, Joe. You are going to ruin this economy, right? You're going to keep the border open, right? I want rapists in this country. Joe, America sucks. You're going to burn it. So he knows he has to speak to that person and keep that person in his corner while also trying to let Norm and Norma know that that's not what he's doing. You see, when Joe Biden came out yesterday with his executive action on the border, you, me, and every other hyper-informed person, we all rolled our eyes and threw our hands up, and we just waited for the details to come out. But we knew that he wasn't going to do anything. You're not a moron. You understand that flooding the country with illegals has been a central part of the communist plan since Cloward Piven came up with it back in the 60s. It's been a central part of their plan. They're not going to deviate from that. Joe Biden hasn't failed at the border. For what he wants, he's been a tremendous success. The most successful Democrat president in history, to be honest with you. He has been. This is what they've wanted. Joe Biden made it happen. But Norm and Norma, they don't know any better. They don't know anything. Or at least they don't know much. And this brings me to the finding a problem being different than finding a solution to the problem. Let's talk about that in a moment. Now, I have a solution to the problem of the dollar being destroyed. No, I can't fix the dollar. No, I can't do that. I'm not controlling the Fed. I'm not one of these people passing trillion-dollar bills, so I can't do anything about that, but I do know what's going to last. Long after you're dead and gone, I'm dead and gone, long after America is dead and gone, the coins, gold or silver, that you buy from Oxford Gold Group will not only remain, they will have tremendous value everywhere. How crazy is that? You call Oxford Gold Group and get some gold or silver coins delivered to your front door. It will span time, and it's not subject to location. You could fast forward 5,000 years from now and go to Zimbabwe and you would have tremendous value. That's something that lasts. Protect yourself financially. Just get something. Don't go crazy. Get something in your hands. 833-995-GOLD. All right? 833-995-GOLD.
Is he smarter than everyone?
Who knows?
Does he think so?
Yeah.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Reminding you, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Google. No, not Google. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Ah! All right, now let's go back to this immigration thing. Why are Democrats acting like they want to do something now? Beyond the fact that their poll numbers are bad and they have to act like they want to do something. Why speak like this? Well, you don't understand probably how informed you are. And I say this because I don't consider myself to be some kind of hyper-informed person, someone who knows a ton about politics. I realize I do it for a living and I know a bit about a bit, but whenever I get with my normie and Norma friends and family members, it's not that I'm impressed by how much I know. I'm stunned by how little they know. And these are people, for the most part, who vote, at least in presidential elections. They don't know anything. They don't know any of the issues, any of the scandals. They don't know nothing. So that's who they speak to when they're talking about solving the problem at the border. Shouldn't be a political issue. We're going to dig in and solve it.
The border is not a political issue to be weaponized. The responsibility we have to share, to do something about it.
Now, let's talk about something. There is a huge difference, a world of difference, between identifying what a problem is and identifying how to solve a problem or how to prevent a problem. A huge difference. Okay, here's an example. So I do have a friend or two who have walked on the rough side of life. I have a friend, as we speak, he is in state prison, actually in Montana. He's in state prison. And look, we don't talk anymore. It's not that we've shunned each other. I moved away. He stayed there and we just kind of fell apart, you know. Well, yeah, fell apart. We just grew apart, I should say. But he is a grease fire of a human being. And he had a very rough home life, so every excuse in the world. So I realize that's there, but this is a human being who is extremely violent, extremely violent. I have been in more fights with him, alongside him, in seeing him fight more people. He has a terrible alcohol problem where even if he's relatively normal sober, if he sniffs a beer, he wants to fight everybody, the men, the women, the dogs, and the cars. I've actually seen him charge a car before. I'm not making that up. So this human being is an unmitigated disaster, okay? We'll call this guy Bob. That is not his name. We'll call him Bob. Now, I get a text right now. This is a made-up story, by the way. I get a text right now from Bob. He says, Jesse, I'm in town. Can I come down to the studio? We'll hang out. I text him right back and I say, Bob, absolutely, get over here. He gets in the studio and we've got some booze here in the studio. We don't drink at work. I mean, Chris or Michael may have a beer while we're doing the show. It's just not something we do. But we have a bunch of stuff there in case the suits come to town. Someone wants a bourbon or something like that. We have some stuff in the kitchen. Bob gets here and I say, Bob, get in that whiskey, man. I got all kinds of free whiskey. Get after it. And Bob starts chugging whiskey. And then as soon as I get off the air, Bob is three sheets to the wind. He's already fought poor Chris and Michael. And I grab the whiskey and I start hammering whiskey. And then we get in my car and we start driving. And some car pulls up beside me. And he wants the drag race. We're on the main street of town. And I said, let's do it. And we're drag racing the guy. And we drag race into a parking lot. And then we get out and we get in a big fight. And everything turns to crap. And the cops show up and I end up in the clink. Now let me ask you. Is that situation bad? Every single person listening right now, everyone, even the communists who are hate listening, everyone knows that's a bad situation. Everybody. Everyone's listening and they're thinking, that's bad, that's terrible. However, this is the problem. The opinions on where it went bad and why it went bad will vary wildly. If you ask me, where everything went bad is exactly when Bob texted me and I texted him back and said, congrats on the parole. Come on over and drink whiskey for me, because I know everything about the situation. I know how it began. I know about his background. I can quickly identify that right there. That was where we had a problem. If you had not sent that text message, nothing happens. The drinking, the fighting, the racing, the arrests, nothing bad happens. I can identify where the problem is. You probably came up with the same solution. You can identify. You were probably sitting there thinking, oh, please don't text the guy back. But if you were to go talk to 500 people out there and tell them that exact same stupid story that I just made up off the top of my head, you might get 300 different opinions on where it went wrong. Well, you were okay. It's fine to have a drink with your buddy. No big deal. The racing probably wasn't a good idea. Or, of course, you're going to invite Bob over. Just don't invite. Don't give him any booze. You see, when it comes to political issues facing this nation, the communists understand something very, very well because they're mainly the ones responsible for it. We have a nation full of all these people, 300 million of us. But there aren't actually that many who understand how to fix the problems we have. The normie Americans out there, all those normie Americans in the middle, the norms and normas in your life. Ah, man, you watched the game last night? Oh, yeah, I'm politically involved. I vote once every 4 years. Go Trump. That person, they know the border's a problem. They know illegal immigration is a problem. They get that. I'm not saying they're drooling morons, but they have no earthly idea who caused it, why they caused it, what they're doing, what needs to be done to fix it. And so when you get up as a Democrat and you give a speech like Biden gave, that speech is not for you. The speech actually isn't even for his dirtball communist base. When they get up and speak as if, hey, it's kind of everyone's problem and we're going to dig in now, we'll fix the border, they're not speaking to you or me. They're speaking to Norma, who hears this stuff and says, you know, that is right. I'm glad he's digging in. I've known it was a problem for a while.
The border is not a political issue to be weaponized. The responsibility we have to share, to do something about it. They don't have time for the games played in Washington, and neither do the American people. So today, I'm moving past Republican obstruction and using the executive authorities available to me as president to do what I can on my own to address the border.
Norma, while you're freaking out, your blood pressure's spiking, you're yelling about all the lies he's telling, the Norma's out there, even if they don't like Joe Biden, doesn't he sound reasonable there? I mean, he's digging in. Look at that. He knows there's a problem. I know there's a problem. Clearly, we're on the same page. That's why they talk the way they talk. And that's why they give these kind of speeches and statements that mean nothing. Of course, he's not going to do anything about the border or illegal immigration or any of that stuff. You already know that. That's not news. You've known that forever. All right, let's shift gears a little bit here because someone wants to talk a little bit about the reaction to Trump's convictions from some of the legal minds on the right. Before we get to that, you see this headline. Getting fit is great, but it could turn you into a right-wing jerk. This is from some nutball communist named Zoe Williams. Zoe Williams, I don't know. She sounds like a fruit. Listen, do you want to be a right-wing jerk? I do. Do you want to be the biggest right-wing jerk humanly possible? If you do, then you need to get your testosterone levels up, gentlemen. You cannot be low T and be what this hag thinks is a right-wing jerk. She's just going to think you're a harmless barnacle. So, you need to get a male vitality stack flowing through your veins. All natural herbal supplements at Chalk, CHOQ. The Chalk guys are so anti-communist, they were against all the COVID measures from day one, just like I was. Chalk is out there trying to find alternative solutions to staying healthy, and that's what I love. Natural solutions. Take a male vitality stack for 90 days. You won't have to take my word for it. You'll know by how you feel. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse, gets you a discount on subscriptions. So go get a subscription. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. Let's talk about the reaction to the Trump thing. Hang on.
I've got an animal inside of me.
This is Jesse Kelly. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. I'm in such a good mood tonight. We are going to take some calls next hour, so that could improve the mood, or that could destroy everything. I mean, I have no idea what we're taking. Before, you know what? I'm not giving out the number yet. Don't call. No one's there. I have a bunch of other stuff I want to cover first. But I figure since we have so many new listeners and we're picking up a bunch of new affiliates and whatnot, now would be a good time to remind the new listeners, or at least let the new listeners know something the old listeners know. Here on the Jesse Kelly Show, I am white trash. I'm uneducated. I'm rude. I do not take very many phone calls. I don't have very many guests. I am too in love with the sound of my own voice. No, I just don't. I don't prefer guests. I don't prefer calls. I just prefer to just talk. Just do the show the way I want it done. But I do try to do calls at least once a week. My wife tells me I should do it more because people like it. I realize I fail at that, Chris. Whatever. I try to do calls once every week or two. The reason I don't generally do calls is calls suck. And the reason calls suck, listen, I'm going to tell every radio host listening out there, all you guys, local guys, national guys who are tuning in, I understand why you do calls. You sound like a man of the people. You don't even have to really think about much. The caller kind of picks the subject. But everybody listening winces when you take them. And you know why they wince when you take them? Because you're too polite. I am not polite. No small talk. There's only two rules for the calls on this show. No small talk, meaning get to the point, get right to the point, and keep it family friendly. Kids, listen to this show. No cussing, no dirty stuff. You will keep it family friendly or you will get dropped and hung up on. I don't care other than that. You can be mad at me. You can yell at me. You can call me an idiot. It really does not matter to me at all as long as you get to that point quickly. If you're going to call me a moron, do it fast. All right? The problem is you take a call and this is what you get on every frigging show in the country. Hey, Jesse, how you doing tonight? I'm good, Bill. How are you doing tonight? Oh, I'm pretty good. I can't complain. I had some scrambled eggs for dinner. Wow, that's good, Bill. Oh my gosh, everybody wants to die. So when we take calls at some point in time next hour, just get to the point. I don't say that to intimidate anybody. Call in, men, women, children. No, not children, but not without mom and dad's permission. Men, women, children with permission, you're welcome to call. Just get to the point, okay? It's freedom. Don't look at it as restrictive. It's freedom. You don't have to be nice. It's a phone call where you don't have to be nice. And I'm not going to thank you for the call. Just talk, all right? All right. Now, you should... Well, I'll read the email first and then we'll talk about it. Gigantic world traveler... While you were gallivanting, that's a great word, around New York City, I was following Trump's New York City conviction, an outcome that we both knew was coming. Reading through Jonathan Turley's tweets, he's one of these legal analysts, kind of on the right, about the trial, and it was like watching someone realize their favorite superhero was fake. Turley seems like an intelligent, decent, and honest man. He sure does, by the way. I don't know him, but he does seem like that. Who loves everything law in this country, and is just now coming to grips with the communist takeover of the judicial system. I felt sorry for him as he realized his superhero was fake. I hate what the communists have done to a once great institution and to good people who cherish them. Said, glad to hear you back on the radio. I only read that because I felt it was a good reminder for me, and maybe it's a helpful reminder to you, that there are differences in ages, and if you've listened to the show for any length of time, you will know that I don't favor or demonize anyone age. I think I've always thought that was ridiculous. Kids today are so stupid. There are so many kids today who are awesome. Yeah, there's a bunch of dirt balls. You'll listen to shows by younger people. Older people screwed everything up. Screw those boomers. There are tons of baby boomers who are wonderful. It's just, there's nothing generational about being a good person or a dirtball. But there are age differences when it comes to accepting where we are as a country. And that's just a matter of human conditioning. And this is what I mean. I'm 42 years old. You know how the Spartans lived. The Spartans lived this really, really brutal existence. You're essentially in the field at all times, digging in, training for combat, fighting for combat. Let's say I was 42 and never served in the Marines or anything like that. I was just a normal 42-year-old. And then, boom, you put me in Spartan society. Here's a shield. Here's a spear. Okay, I'm not even going to make it. I'll probably just mentally break down. Such a shock, such a radical change from what I've known that it would be too much for me to bear. But if you were to take a seven-year-old, that's actually when they sent the seven-year-olds away, a seven-year-old child, and you were to rip him from his mother and father, and boom, you teleport him into Spartan society, would it be a culture shock? No more little goldfish and things like that? Yes, it would be, but he would make it because he hasn't had as many years of conditioning in his current system. The older American, people like this guy mentioned Jonathan Turley, but you probably have norms and normas, older norms and normas in your life who struggle with this. In a lot of ways, Trump still struggles with this. When he talks about building the FBI a new headquarters and stuff like that, a lot of that's simply an age thing. Once you've lived for so many years in a not perfect, but really decent, normal country like America has been, it's really hard. And in some cases, it's impossible to wake up one day and realize that that country is gone. And for the people who do struggle with that, Trump and others, we, myself included, probably should be more merciful. It's not an easy thing to live 60, 70, 80 years in one country and then wake up and realize they destroyed it. That's hard, man. That's a tough pill to swallow. That's a lot to swallow. You know what else is hard to swallow? Your shoe. You know when people starve, they eat their shoes? Did you know that? You can find case after case after case of this throughout history. I'm thinking about actually the siege of Moscow in World War II, where they were famously eating the paint off the walls in their shoes. That doesn't sound very good, does it? Have you called My Patriot Supply yet? Have you gotten a hold of them? You know they have emergency three-month food kits? $200 off each kit. Non-perishable. Stash it. Forget about it. Don't tell your neighbors about it. Every human being, every single one, everyone in your home needs 3 months worth of emergency food that you never touch. My Patriot Supply has been doing this for a long time. Millions of Americans have an emergency food supply because of My Patriot Supply. You want $200 off? Go to preparewithjessekelly.com. Preparewithjessekelly.com. Get your emergency three-month food kit unless you feel like eating your shoe. If your shoes look delicious, don't bother. If you'd like to eat real food, preparewithjessekelly.com. All right, we still have so much more to go. Hang on.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.